When I was a young boy, I could hear my father's voice even if I could not see him. Now, there's several reasons for that. One, he was a kind man, and so his kindness came through, but he also was a stern man. And when he spoke, my brother, my sister, and I needed to listen. Most of the time, he said things that were so important that we wouldn't want to miss them, and other times, it was corrections for behaviors that were inappropriate. Just kids, you know. But he was a wise man, and he knew a lot about good, and he knew about those things that weren't so good. And he wanted the very best for us as his children. When my father died at the age of 56 from cancer, my greatest fear was I would not remember his voice. We as a family had cut a record. It wasn't a great record. It was our singing, and we thought we were pretty good, but listening to it, I realized we probably weren't that good at all, but we had a great time singing together. And I played that record over and over and over and over again because I did not want to lose hearing my father's voice. You know what? Today, if he were to speak to me someplace out of nowhere where I didn't even know he was standing or sitting, I would know his voice. I will never forget his voice. When Jesus speaks to us, have we familiarized ourselves enough with him that we would know his voice? I love the Emmaus Road story because it's so jam-packed with the realities of our living and life. This is going to be a rather short sermon, I think, because there's just too much to unpackage. And so I'm going for a few very important points to just kind of chew around and listen with. And I hope when you go home, you'll pick up your Bible sometime during this day or at least during this week and read this scripture very slowly and take in all that is taking place in this story. The Emmaus Road was one of eight of the appearances of Jesus post-resurrection. It says in Luke's gospel there's two disciples walking side by side. One is Cleophas, Simon, but we don't know who the other would be. Some scholars believe it probably was Cleophas' wife, because two men didn't generally live together, invite people into their home to eat. I don't want to spend a lot of time there, but I want to point out they were two disciples. They knew Jesus' voice. They had walked with him. They had heard him talk. They had heard his questions. They knew what he expected and wanted. But as they were walking out of Jerusalem, they were all wrapped up in this conversation. What in the world has happened to us? What has happened to this Jesus that promised he would be with us and he would do great things to save us? Why didn't he do what he said he'd do? As they're talking about their questions and their total amazement because the women had just reported to them that the grave was empty. They were astonished to get that news. Grief and shattered dreams kept them from hearing and knowing the voice of the stranger who walked alongside of them. Their eyes did not perceive or take in the fact that it was Jesus because they were so lost in what was going on. And Jesus asked them a question, "What are you discussing with each other while you are walking along?" And the two disciples almost laughed out loud. Do you not know what happened to the most important man in history? Do you not know what happened to Jesus, the prophet, the great prophet of God? Leonard Sweet and Frank Viola in Jesus Speaks identify life's reality. And here it is, folks. in those two disciples, their hopes were dashed and sad and dejected. They despaired of their future. Sweet and Viola go on to offer, but the story wasn't over. Jesus comes to us even in our deepest doldrums and walks beside us. When the sky is falling, death seems so much more powerful than life. When the evil forces of the world seem to be beating back the good. When we feel all alone, hopeless, burdened down with the harsh realities of life, Jesus comes to us. But the question is, will we hear him speak? At first, the disciples on the Emmaus Road certainly did not hear him speak. They were amazed that he could not get the fact that this great and wonderful leader of theirs had been arrested, condemned to death, and crucified. And they responded in their greatest dismay. "How could you not know?" they asked. How could we not know when Jesus speaks to us? Sweet and Viola, in their book, and I encourage you to read this book, it's a powerful book on Jesus speaking, but they give three ways. They actually give more than three ways, but we're going to take three out of today's story to look at, to ponder the way Jesus speaks at us today. The first is through Scripture. Jesus began with Moses and all the prophets. He interpreted to them the things about himself in all of the Scriptures. Now remember, they didn't have all of the Scriptures we have today. We have the advantage of not only the Old Testament, but we have the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we hear his words, we see the practices, and we experience the compassion of the one who has spoken to us as recorded in the Gospels. But to hear him speak through those words, we must read them. We must understand them, as the children's story pointed out. And if we hear them, the question is, will we want to obey them? When we read the Gospels, do our hearts burn? Is the living Christ who meets us in his recorded words real to us? In the Roman Catholic Church, there is a rite for the ordination of deacons. The bishop presents a candidate the Gospels along with these words. Receive the Gospels of Christ, whose herald you now are. Believe what you read. Teach what you believe, and practice what you teach. Now, of course, my mind plays with this stuff a little bit, and I got to thinking, in the Church of the Brethren, we claim that all are ministers. So I wonder what would happen if, as a person came up out of the baptistry, we handed them the Gospels, and we said to them, read until you believe, teach and witness to what you believe, and practice in word and deed what you teach, and you will hear Jesus speak. That could be a good instruction, at least for me, maybe for all of us. What do you think? But there's more in this story for those who desire to hear Jesus speak. And this one's a little bit different than you would most aptly expect. You notice when they were walking along, they were oblivious to what Jesus was saying, and he knew they wouldn't hear what he had to say. So he asked them a question. Do you remember what the question was? Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Now, that surely would have thrown them off a bit, because they would expect him to give some defense of why he didn't know what was going on, or maybe to say, okay, folks, eyes open, ears open, it's me. But no, he didn't. He asked this very salient question. Questions help us explore our doubts, and they help us dig deeper in our understanding, especially if we listen for the answers that we have not yet found. Most of the problems that face us individually and corporately have solutions. Not all of them, but most of them. But it is in asking multiple questions or asking others. I've been a part of a discernment group where we would have multiple questions asked, and I had to think about them in discerning a call or a direction for ministry. I don't know about you, but my first desires in ministry training was to get all the handles, all the truth, all the things I needed so I could fix things, fix people. But guess what, folks? It's not about fixing. Most of what goes in our lives, others can't fix for us. But in the questions we might ask, could we hear Jesus speak? Could we hear the grace and the mercy of a loving God reach out toward us and give us a sense of direction? Jesus speaks to us through questions. And one of the things that amazes me is that how often we gather as a church in our meetings and never once ask, except maybe in the beginning with a short devotion and in the end with a prayer, but we never in the middle ask, where is God in all this? What does Jesus want us to hear? What does Jesus want us to understand? And what difference will that make? And what choices will make? Being one who has worked with congregations to develop visions for the future, I'm not talking about these nice statements that you plaster on the wall at some place, but vision of seeing. Now I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you now can see Jesus? Okay, I'm going to tell you how this mind-altering experience helps you see Jesus. You see the four dots up in the middle? Focus your attention on those four dots. Now, if you don't get this right away, that's okay. But focus on those four dots, and then turn your head and close your eyes. Have any others seen Jesus? A few others? This wasn't put up here as a trick. It was put up here as a reminder that we have to go deeper to hear, to see Jesus and understand him. But there's still one other way to see Jesus. It was evening and the still unrecognized stranger was going on to some uncertain destiny. And the disciples learned one lesson of their culture, at least, and probably of the practice of Jesus with them. And that was hospitality. It is late, they say. Come sit with us and eat. So Jesus did come in and he sat down. But you know what happened? The two disciples no longer were the host. Jesus became the host. When he meets us, he becomes the host of our life. And he picked up the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And what they couldn't see, they now saw. What they couldn't hear, they now began to hear who he was and what he was about. And then what happened? Kate, what happened at the end of the story when they saw?
Disappeared.
He disappeared. That's always bothered me, to tell you the truth. Why in the world did he disappear? Well, in the New Interpreter's Bible, I found this very insightful reflection. The nuns in the Sound of Music sing, "How can you catch a moonbeam in your hand? How do you hold a wave upon the sand? The mystery of transcendence is always transitory. God's faithful perceive God's presence in fleeting moments, and then the mundane closes in again." And then the mundane closes in again. That's why I wonder if we do the bread and cup often enough. Do we break the bread and understand the body is broken for us? Do we take the cup and understand the covenant that's been made with us? To understand that even in the mundane, Jesus walks with us. Even in the mundane, there are moments I hear my Father's voice in my mind speak to me. "Randy, I love you. Randy, don't go there. Randy, remember Jesus." Those who have eyes to see, let them see. And those who have ears to hear, let them hear.